It's time for Rebel Extra. This is your team, Las Vegas, and we want to hear from you. Call us at 364-1100. That's 364-1100. Now, live from the Findlay Toyota Studios, it's Bernie Fratto and John Von Tobel.
In the Dionne Warwick hit song, Do You Know the Way to San Jose, there's a repetitive hook that is repeated more than once, which says, quote, I'm going back to find some peace of mind in San Jose. And when you consider the history of these two schools, with today being the 40th meeting, well, the Rebels have been victorious in 35 of the last 39 contests, including 7 straight wins before today. Well, that was before today. Now, if this had been a 20-minute game, the Rebels would be heading home with a W. But San Jose State, who is much improved and features one of the brightest talents in the Mountain West Conference in Brandon Clark, well, they had a real say in the matter. In fact, the host Spartans outscored the Rebels by 13 in the second half, out-rebounded UNLV by 7 in the second half, and frankly, they did the little things when they needed it most, as we saw the Spartans close out the visiting Rebels 76-72. Now, this game, this is not a heartbreaking loss. It's another dose of reality. Mental mistakes, defensive breakdowns, concentration lapses, and, you know, sloppy execution. Look, you just simply can't tolerate that in Division I basketball. That is, if you want to win basketball games. But in fairness, the Rebels did play hard. So there's that. Unfortunately, they fall to 10-12 overall and 3-6 in Mountain West Conference play. Welcome back to another edition of Rebel Extra, the post-game show devoted to you, the fans and supporters of UNLV Runner Rebel Basketball. Rebel Extra is brought to you by our proud sponsors, Angel Park Legacy and Durango Hills, OB Sports' most complete golf course experiences in Las Vegas. Diamondback Land Surveying, for brick walls to the Taj Mahal. Diamondback Land Surveying are your land surveying experts. 8-Ball Bail Bonds. If you had more fun at the game than the law allows, call 8-Ball Bail Bonds to get you out of jail. And Pizza My Dear with a smoking lunch deal. A 12-inch pizza for only $5 with 2 locations to serve you. Go to pizzamydear.com. We come to you after every game this season. We want to hear from you. Really want to hear from some callers tonight about this game. 364-1100. Give us a call. Be part of the action. You can text your thoughts at 69187. Please preface your text with ESPN. Before you go any further, let me introduce tonight's broadcast team to my left. Turning all the dials, as always, keeping us glued together, is, of course, producer extraordinaire Bobby Machado. He'll also be taking your calls at 364-1100. To my right, I'm joined by the gentleman. Has his own show on Sunday mornings at 8 o'clock on Fox Sports 1340, our sister station. Show is called Autoline, and his name is Brian Feldman. Brian, when Ochio Fabu hit that long bomb three at the buzzer in the first half, putting the Rebels up by 9, I thought things were looking pretty good.
Bernie, before I get started, I want to say again, their record is about where it was expected to be at this point in the season, to be fair up front. However, that being said, the way they are losing these games is beyond frustrating. Robert Smith had it right as far as keys to the game go. Put 2 good halves together, play better inside, smarter shot selection, perimeter defense. Bernie, these have been problems since day one, and boy, did they ring true again. They put together a nice first half, the big three-pointer at the buzzer to go up 9. They were up 12 early in the second half, and then again, a 7, 8, 9-minute scoring drought. The majority of their points in the second half came from the free throw line. Go figure.
Well, that was pretty crazy. The Rebels close out 3 of 17 down the stretch to go with those defensive breakdowns. I believe they only had 7 or 8 field goals in the entire second half. One bright spot, amazingly, the Rebels 24 of 27 from the charity stripe, 89%. But then again, San Jose State was 22 of 28. San Jose State, we're talking about. They put up 49 points in the second half. That hurts. So let's go back to my open when the Rebels are nursing a 36-27 halftime lead. And I just put in my notes, it's a good first half. Okay, got to play a good second half now. And I believe that the first 4 minutes would be critical. After that, avoid long droughts. Try to prevent long San Jose State runs. Play smart on both sides of the ball. And right out of the gate, Zion Morgan gets a steal. Chuck Ndombele blocks a shot. UNLV converts both. They go up 13, 40-27. But their prosperity was short-lived. Just 7 minutes later, the game was tied because of many defensive lapses, blown assignments, too much hero ball, bad shot selection. And you say to yourself, Brian, these are mental mistakes. And you know they're being coached up because Coach Menzies and Rob Jeter, in particular, we're going to get to certain junctures in the game in the second half, which were fairly bothersome. But again, these are mental mistakes that one would hope or think are starting to be, you know, get corrected after 22 games, especially when you've proven you can go on the road and beat a decent team. San Jose State's a bottom 500 team. They beat Fresno State. Fresno State beat Nevada twice, and you lead by 9 in the first half. That wasn't by accident. The Rebels played well. The fact that the variance of play continues to feature such incredible wide springs is swings is what I meant to say. I'm getting tongue-tied here because I'm flabbergasted by some of the things I see, are what cause people to scratch their heads, because the Rebels will show you glimpses of what they can do, like they did at the Pit and in Wyoming and, of course, in the first half today, but it never seems to continue.
No, it doesn't. And we all know Brandon Clark is a special basketball player. 23 points tonight. He's two-time Mountain West Conference Player of the Week this year so far. This kid is special. They did what they can do. You're not going to contain or keep that guy under arrest, but that's not it. Bernie, the thing is UNLV continues to struggle around the rim.
Offensively.
Offensively.
How many missed layups?
Dunks. Their inability to hit layups and putbacks is absolutely, it's flabbergasting. Like you said, I mean, it is beyond frustrating. This is a D1 basketball team. Layups are something you learn before you even get to junior high. How we are missing, and these are, some of them are contested. Mooring missed a real tough one at one point, but some of them are easy as can be. They throw up air balls, Bernie. They look completely discombobulated underneath the basket on the offensive end of the court way too many times. How do you fix that?
Well, I'm not sure how you fix that. I think it's mental. The Rebels were getting to the rim. They were getting their opportunities for putbacks and dunks and layups. They just weren't converting. You could say that cost them the game. I don't know. I don't think it's that simplistic. You mentioned Brandon Clark. I have a lot of respect for Brandon Clark. He's a nice-looking player. He's certainly got an unconventional-looking shot. He's got an unconventional-looking release. Why does he shoot 60%? He gets nothing but high-percentage shots. He gets the ball, spins, gets to the rim. You're not going to beat him to the spot. By the way, he got 5 blocks tonight. You know why Brandon Clark's such a good player? He's a smart player. Watch his game. He anticipates. He knows what he's doing. And I think to a great degree, and by the way, Coach Menzies started to figure this out with about 9 minutes to go in the game. He was yelling at his players. Every time Brandon Clark got the ball in the lane, he would spin, beat him to a spot, take away that space. The Rebels started to pack the paint on San Jose State, forcing the Spartans to beat them from the outside. But San Jose State still managed to have quality possessions, and too many times the Rebels continue to play hero ball.
No question about it. As you mentioned, Clark, this team, San Jose State, is really a three-man show when you watch this team. It's Clark, Welich, and Brown.
Right.
You take those three out of the game, and there's no points scored in this game. And UNLV knows that. Everybody that goes up against San Jose State knows it. As you mentioned, no question about it, Clark, a great basketball IQ. This guy plays well. He makes the same move continuously inside. He's been doing it for a couple of years now, and you still can't stop him. He knows.
Well, the first half, Brian, the Rebels, I'll give them credit. Clark was only 3 of 7, right. 8 points, did have 3 block shots. They did a pretty good job on him. And one of the things the Rebels, in fairness, have done this year is they've done a pretty good job of neutralizing an opponent's top offensive threat. They did it with Jason McMenamin
again
in Wyoming twice. They did it with Jeremy Helmsley at San Diego State. And they did it for a while today. Before we get to the phone lines, I want to bring up one other point. I don't want to bury the lead here. Were you surprised when you saw Zion Morgan get the start over Jalen Poizer? I was not. I thought it was a good decision. If for nothing else out of curiosity, Zion Morgan has proven to be a guy that is, he defends well. He's got active hands. For the most part, he makes pretty good decisions with the basketball. Quality, 12.6 rebounds against Wyoming the other night. And so all of a sudden now, I asked a JVT this. He said, I asked him if he thought there might be a changing in the guard. He says, I think it's already happening. He was right. Morgan gets 22 minutes tonight. Poizer gets 18. Green gets 19. Jalen Poizer, an odd stat line. I believe he was like 11 of 12. He was 1 of 7 from the floor, but still managed 17 points. He was 11 of 13 from the free throw line. Excuse me.
No, you know, no question about it. It is amazing to me, Bernie, how much different the players are, Terrell Green and Jalen Poizer, from the pre-Mountain West Conference schedule to Mountain West schedule. It's night and day. I mean, it really is. And as you mentioned, Zion Morgan, no, I wasn't surprised he got the start at all. You mentioned the 12 points against Wyoming, 23 quality minutes in that game, and he's earning his playing time, and at least Menzie is staying true to form when he says the players will earn their time on the floor.
Right.
This kid has earned his time on the floor. He hit a huge three late in the game to keep him in it as well. Zion Morgan has earned his place on the floor. And what really made me sad tonight, and I know we got to get out to the phone lines, is the fact that they played so well and so in sync in the first half. Not great basketball, but smart basketball. How about the very beginning, Bernie, if you remember? The second shot of the game, Uche Afebo passed up a three and stepped up to the 16-foot mark and buried the shot. You don't. That's different from what we've been seeing. And I'm like, wow, this is great. They only, at 6-minute mark of the first half, they only attempted 4 3-pointers. That's incredible. And then in the second half, the adjustments weren't there. San Jose made them. UNLV didn't. And they came out just looking like a completely different basketball team again. It's head-scratching material.
Hold that thought, because I want to reference the first 6 minutes of the first half and then the first 10 minutes of the second half. As we've always said, this is a caller show, Rebel Extra. We enjoy hearing from the folks, the fans, who support UNLV Runner Rebel Basketball. We want to hear from you, 364-1100. So let's get out to the phone lines. We're joined by Kevin. Kevin, lead us off tonight on Rebel Extra.
What's up, folks? How y'all doing, man? Good to hear you guys tonight, man. But I was in the middle of moving today, and while moving, I was able to check the score and even pull up the game on the Campus Insider's little link. And that first half, I saw that they battled back, and they took the lead. I saw Poizer miss a layup, then I saw Uche miss a dunk, and I was like, well, hopefully they figure that out. And then I saw they was up 13 in the second half, and then I moved some stuff around, come back, and we was down. And I think the last two possessions back-to-back that I saw was that San Jose State got an offensive rebound and a putback on two straight back-to-back possessions before Zion hit the three, or it was after Zion hit the three. But hopefully Menzies tear up into him and let him know that you got to go out there and compete, and hopefully we can get some winners coming up, man, because we need them.
All right, I appreciate you checking in, Kevin, and I remember the juncture in the game, Brian, that Kevin's talking about. Mm-hmm. When Uche missed the dunk at the time, the score was tied 16-16, 9:54 in the first half. He missed a dunk, then he got a technical for hanging on the rim. I think it was a bit out of frustration. And this was just right after Chekin Dembele had blocked the dunk on Ryan Wallach. And instead of UNLV leading 18-16, they trailed 17-16. And at that point, you could start to see a little bit. I'm not saying doubt was inserted, but we saw things change. UNLV's defense, which had been pretty stellar prior to that, they were playing the man. They started to go for ball fakes, go for steals. The risk-reward wasn't there. Early in the game, when they went up 4-0, you bring up a good point. Uche passed up a three, stepped up, got his feet set, hit a nice 15-footer. A couple of minutes later, they're up 8-3, and there was very good ball movement. Christian Jones was active down low. They even missed a couple of dunks and layups, but they got the putbacks. San Jose State, the first chess move was at about 11:55 when the game was tied at 11. San Jose State started to more actively guard the three-point line. UNLV spacing was poor at that point. At one particular possession, Brian, I saw two guys literally standing right next to each other. Tyrell Green checks in, immediately chucks up an air ball three. And I'm going, and I started to wonder, please, can we refrain from falling back into what I would consider to be nauseating habits? The game was pretty much even until 5 minutes to go, and all of a sudden, the Rebels' three-point machine took over. Clyburn hits a three at 5:10, but there was good patience, good ball movement. It was a good possession. 2 minutes later, Afebo hits a three, and there was, once again, excellent ball movement, side-to-side movement. They found Afebo on the side in the baseline at about the three-minute mark. Minute later, Javon Mooring hits a three, Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Then Lefebvre hits the long bomb three to end the half. We all know the Rebels live and die by the three, but those weren't bad threes. Most of those were as a result of a good possession, multiple passes, good spacing, and good ball movement.
Well, no question. And then in the second half, as you said, it gets late in the second half. And again, it's almost like a panic or they forget what they're doing. Mooring in the second half, if you remember, Bernie, late in the second half, takes it in. He's got three people going up to block the shot. There, you know, if there's three people on him, somebody has got to be open.
Someone's
got to
be open.
And what does he do? He gets the shot blocked. I mean, these are the things that you scratch your head and you say, I know these guys have the ability to play the game. As you mentioned, Bernie, we have seen the flashes against Wyoming, against New Mexico, against Air Force. We have seen what they are capable of doing at times. I don't know what happens when they get to crunch time. They rely on bombs. And you live by the sword, you die by the sword. One of the oldest cliches in the book. But this is that basketball team. And Bernie, it's not going to do them well. They've got to find a way to play more like they did in the first half of this game or in the second half of the Wyoming game. And I just don't know how do you do it? I scratch my head. I'm not a coach, but Menzies has got to find a way to mesh this team to play a full 40 minutes of basketball.
Coach Menzies coached a good game today, I think.
I thought so, too.
He made a lot of adjustments. I'll tell you another adjustment he made at the 10-minute mark. First of all, San Jose State came out in the second half and shot 67% in the first 10 minutes. And the Rebels... The adjustment Coach Menzies made at that point was he started to force tempo. After made baskets, after missed baskets, they got out on the break fast, so San Jose State couldn't get set defensively. That's when the Rebels were having their troubles around the rim, missing shots, missing layups, missing putbacks. I counted at least 8 missed layups. Honest to God, over a 10-minute.
Some air balls, Bernie. Some of them were air balls.
Air balls 2 feet away. By the way, they keep stats on everything. Did you know that the Rebels rank 340th in the country in shots right under the rim? You got to be able to finish. Let's get back out to the phone lines. We're joined by Ryan. Ryan, thanks for checking in tonight on Rebel Extra. What are your thoughts?
Hey, guys. How are you doing? You mentioned something about Marvin Menzies coaching a good game, and I guess my opinion on this is I think you judge a coach by if he's getting the maximum out of the talent that he has. I think we all can agree UNLV has more talent than San Jose State. They might not have top 4, top 5 talent in the Mountain West, but they certainly are more talented team than San Jose State. And I think
what do you base that on, Ryan? This is a good call.
I agree.
Let's hold that thought, okay?
Okay.
Would Brandon Clark start for UNLV?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Would Ryan Welch start for UNLV?
Most likely, yes.
All right.
Absolutely.
So as we start to really, well, I'm going to turn the call back over to you. The bottom line is simply this. You don't win on talent alone, and I'm not sure if we have more talent than San Jose State. I really don't know. Maybe we do, maybe we don't. But
well, I agree. That's what I'm saying. You don't win on talent alone. I think Dave Rice proved that for 5 years. You don't necessarily win with talent. Yeah, I agree with you, Bernie, but the point I'm trying to make is I think they have more talent than San Jose State. Their coach is a better coach. I think he's a very good coach. He's made this team competitive. We can agree on that. They've improved a lot since last year. And I think, you know, there's certain games. There's some other questions I have. For instance, after the Wyoming game, Menzies said on your station, this is weird. I don't know why I have to sit guys out in order to motivate them to play hard. Well, that's something he has to figure out as a coach. The coaching staff has to figure that out. Why are his kids going through these long stretches where they're not playing hard? Why is Poyser not playing inspired basketball? We all know he has the talent. Clyburn, the first couple weeks of the season, looked really good. What happened to him? What happened to Green?
Brian, one of the things I want to talk about is a quote that Coach Menzies had this week when it came to minutes, and we have seen a couple of starting lineup changes. Obviously, earlier in the year, Jalen Poyser was a starter. Tyrell Green was a starter. They've been replaced by Chekden Dembele and Javon Mooring. Today, Zion Morgan gets the start. Coach Menzies has said, and he's been asked, who's going to get minutes, who's going to start? And Coach said, starting are the first, you know, they're the guys that just walk on the floor. It's going to be all about who gets quality minutes. And as the game unfolds, we're going to evaluate who gets production. So who gets minutes?
We'll watch it unfold from there. It's going to be according to who can follow the, quote, script for success. Now, we're going to have Mark Anderson on here in a few minutes. I'm going to have him elaborate about the script for success. But as you look at this team, who do you look at that seems to follow the script for success? And I want you to be candid here, the most often. And to me, it is Zion Morgan. It didn't surprise me when he got the start today. Again, as I said earlier, he makes good decisions with the ball. He defends well. He's got active hands. And he's being more and more productive. And he's certainly very athletic.
Oh, he'd be the first person that would come to mind, Bernie. And I'd also say check at Dembele. I think because we keep hearing how coachable he is, when I see him on the floor, when I see Check on the floor every game, he seems to be working his hardest all the time. He's a work in progress, but him and Zion Morgan, without question, have earned their step-up role on this UNLV basketball team. But real quickly, Bernie, back to Terrell Green and Jalen Poyser. It's head-scratching. It is head-scratching to see, as you said many times on this show, can you imagine pre-Mountain West Conference schedule where this team would have been without Terrell Green? And right now,
he would have been the MVP after 13 games.
No question about it. And right now, that man struggles to find a shot. But again, it's basketball smarts as far as you come into the game and the first thing you do is chuck up a three when that has been the knock on you since the Mountain West Conference schedule has started and you keep doing it. Do you think that's going to all of a sudden just change everything? And I don't want to rag on the kid in any way, shape, or form. I like the fact that he's active. There's no question Terrell Green is passionate about this game and loves being a Rebel. He stayed when a lot of others left for his senior season here. But again, you realize this isn't working. Be more of a team player. And when Terrell Green steps up into that role and plays team basketball, he does fairly well, Bernie. He had a couple moments tonight where he did well. But again, right off the bench, you come up and chuck up an air ball three. Completely unacceptable. And I don't know where that comes from. I can't imagine Marvin Menzies said, hey, go in, grab the ball, and take the first shot you get. There's no way.
The thing to me that was most problematic about the first 10 minutes in the second half, in addition to the fact the Rebels had zero field goals for about 8 minutes, and they went 1 for 11 in that stretch. Ryan Welich gets a catch down low, a free catch in the paint, ties the game up at the 10:50 mark. Where are the defenders? Very next possession, Brandon Clark comes off a pick and roll. Help is late to get there. He makes a layup. He's fouled, gets an and-one. He misses the free throw. The very next possession, a free catch in space down low, Brandon Clark, and I'm thinking to myself, come on. Two possessions later, Hillsman hits a three. Why Dembele was late to close out on the shooter? So we can talk about the offensive woes. Tyrell Green was 3 of 9 from the field. Jalen Poyser, 1 of 7 from the field. Combined, they were 0 of 4 from behind the arc. Those are issues. So when the shots are not dropping, feel free to play defense. As Chuck Daly, our good friend from the Pistons, used to say, let's start with a stop. Offense is fleeting. Offense can come and go. But defense is desire. And the Rebels played some decent defense in the first half, but in the second half, if you want to look at the first 10 minutes and why they watched a 13-point lead
evaporate,
get erased in about 7 minutes because they played like a bunch of Goonie Birds, you can look at the defensive side of the floor.
No question about it. You know, Chris Wynn just texted, and it's a really good point. He says, absolutely cannot give up 49 points to a team like San Jose State in the second half, even if it's on the road. That was their undoing. And 49 points is an awful lot. And again, if the Rebels, then he also says, goes on to say, and I've said this earlier a little bit, if the Rebels don't knock down 18 free throws in the second half, they get blown out. And man, in the Rebels teams of the past, relying on free throws is unbelievable. But if they just hit a third of their shots in the second half, they win the game.
Here's the irony. After the game the other night in the tough loss at Wyoming, they missed 8 of 17 in the second half in terms of free throws, and people were saying, well, if they just would have made their free throws, they'd have won. Today they made their free throws, so if it's not one thing, it's another. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back on the other side, we're going to be joined by Mark Anderson, who was at the game today in San Jose. I want to get some of his thoughts about the rotations, and a couple of times when, frankly, Coach Menzies, and I don't mind seeing this, and one particular time, Rob Jeter exploded off the bench and really got in the ear of their players. Yes, it was a teaching moment, but it was also a critical juncture in terms of the development of this team on a go-forward basis. in the middle of a game. He's Brian Feldman. I'm Bernie Fratto. Bobby Machado is producing, taking all your calls at 364-1100. The UNLV Runner Rebels fall at San Jose State tonight, Brian, for the first time since when? What was that stat you showed me out here?
1996.
January 96, yeah.
21 years, Bernie. 21 years.
By a score of 76-72. So when we come back on the other side, folks, more of your calls. We'll be joined by Mark Anderson, the beat writer for the Las Vegas Review-Journal. Stick and stay, folks. Don't go away. You're listening to Rebel Extra.
Text the show by sending ESPN to 69187 or give us a call at 364-1100. This is Rebel Extra.
Back on Rebel Extra, ESPN 1100, 100.9 FM. Bernie Fratto, Brian Feldman, Bobby Machado producing. Rebels fall today at San Jose State, 76-72. And at this time, we're joined by the gentleman, the beat writer for the Las Vegas Review-Journal, Mark Anderson. Mark, for me, the pinnacle was at 9:07 in the second half. Javon Mooring leaves his feet, makes a bad pass, loses the ball. Rebels get the ball back. Javon Mooring tries a cross-court pass, throws it out of bounds, third straight empty possession. Marvin Menzies calls timeout, yelling at the top of his lungs at Javon Mooring. You've got the floor, my friend.
Yeah, I remember that pretty clearly. He threw a cross-court pass, but pretty close to it, to Zion Morgan, who had to leap high and came down out of bounds. And it was just, there was really no reason for that pass. And that kind of, you know, that kind of spoke to the way the whole game was played from UNLV's standpoint. It was just, you know, they kept throwing away chances. And it was two games in a row now that they've had, you know, just a ton of missed layups and easy shots that, you know, they convert those shots. They're 2-0 this week instead of 0-2.
Mark, how do they fix that? I mean, I know it's a rhetorical question, but seriously, these missed layups, it's a D1 college basketball. Now, some of them are contested, but inside of 2 and 3 feet, the numbers are staggering.
Yeah, in fact, Marvin himself said, he doesn't have an answer how to fix that either. He said, other than these guys have got to be more physical there. They got to, he said, well, instead of setting for layups, just go ahead and try to dunk the ball. And, I think that's what they have to do. Is they have to be more powerful inside and try to dunk it, and if they aren't successful, then maybe at least draw the foul. So and they shot the ball well from the free throw line today. So that,
yep.
You know, so then that's, so they're capable of doing that. You know, and but it's just, you know, it's frustrating when you see one missed way up after another. And you know, and you think about what that could have done for their season. They could have been 12-2 and 5-4 in the Mountain West, and suddenly they're looking at maybe, you know, a somewhat decent seed in the conference tournament if they keep playing well. But now they're trying to avoid the bottom, basically.
Mark, everybody saw the missed layups and such, but for me, it's the defensive lapses and the mental mistakes that are the biggest bugaboo for this team. That's how you surrender a 13-point lead in about 7 minutes to start the second half. Talk a little bit about why mental mistakes continue to plague this team, and if you think there's any sort of, you know, realistic solution.
I would think, but so we're coming up in February, right? The next game will be in February. I think by February, if you're stuck at home making mental mistakes, I think you're going to keep making mental mistakes. I don't really see that changing. I think by this point in the season, you kind of who you are. Every once in a while, you'll see a team make an unexpected run at the end of a season, but that's far more the exception than the rule. So I just think that's who they are. Who do you blame for that? I don't know. I mean, are the coaches not doing what they need to get their points through, or the players, you know, not falling properly? I mean, are they not basketball savvy, or is it some combination? Who knows? It's but there's a problem there, and I don't know how you fix that. And you know, I mean, it seems like every game now we hear Marvin talking about how and not just every game now, but every game all season, it seems like he talks about how all the messages aren't getting through. Well, I mean, you know, the coaches have to bear responsibility for that too, but it's, I don't know where the ultimate blame lies.
And it may be one of those things that's it's a combination of reasons.
Concentration lapses, to me, are the most prevalent thing. When San Jose State tied the game on a Ryan Welch layup, he had basically a free catch down in the paint. Why is that? Why is he giving it? The very next possession, Brandon Clark comes off a pick and roll. The help is late to get there. He makes the basket, gets an and one. Actually, he misses the free throw, but he's fouled. And again, it's missed defensive lapses, defensive assignments, no recognition, lack of awareness.
Right. And they were defensively in the first half. They played well, so it's not like the ability's not there. It's just they stopped handling their assignments in the second half. And I asked Marvin afterward at San Jose State, did anything differently from a strategic standpoint on offense? And he said no, other than a couple of wrinkles here and there that they adjusted for. It wasn't anything that San Jose State did. And if you look at it, San Jose State had 27 points first half, 49 second half.
Yes, yep. Where
that? That's a complete breakdown defensively, complete breakdown.
And again, you wonder how to fix that. Mark, I wanted to ask you, Terrell Green and Jalen Poyser, is it just, do you think it's a confidence thing? I mean, I've never seen anything like this. As Bernie said many times, after 13 games, Terrell Green was the MVP of this team. And now when he comes off the bench, immediately chucks up a three and throws up an air ball. What is it going to take? I mean, without Jalen Poyser and Terrell Green, this team it struggles as it is. They got to have these two guys playing well.
Yeah, I think they're it's got to be in their heads. I mean, Terrell Green was 2 of 3 of 9. Poyser was 1 of 7. It's got to be in their heads at this point. How can it not be, right?
Well, Mark, can I stop you for a second? Both of them forced shots. Terrell Green threw up an air ball three. That was a bad possession. And at one point, Jalen Poyser reverted back to November 8th where he dribbled into three guys and two guys were open. And by the way, there was one other possession where Terrell Green had the ball and I think Kekin Dembele was wide open down low and he didn't even look at him.
Yeah, and I think maybe they're just pressing so hard to try to get out of it that they're becoming too selfish, if that makes sense, where they're trying so hard to get out of their slumps that they're trying too hard to do it instead of just doing what comes naturally. And let's face it, these aren't multidimensional players. I mean, Terrell Green's his one thing he's supposed to do is shoot, and he's not doing that.
No.
And Jalen Poyser, I mean, other than when he's on fire, he doesn't bring a lot to the table as far as passing and defense and that sort of thing either. So the one thing that we need both guys to do, they're not doing. And so when they try to get outside of their games and do other things, it winds up hurting UNLV more than it does helping them. So, I don't know what you, this, it's not like you have a bunch of other guys on the bench you can go to. I mean, it's clear to me that they've lost confidence in Troy Baxter at this point.
He didn't get on the floor. An eight-man rotation, which sort of leads to my next question. Wrap it up with Mark Anderson, the Las Vegas Review-Journal. Coach Manzi's just talked about his, quote, script for success. We saw Zion Morgan get the start today. I'm not necessarily surprised by that. Do you look for other adjustments and machinations as it involves the starting lineup?
I think now they have the lineup they're probably going to have. It's just Jalen Poyser was hurting them so much out there. I think that they just had to get him on the bench. And so Zion Morgan, I think, is going to be the starter from now on. And he would have played more than 22 minutes, but he had four fouls. So he got in foul trouble. And that's why Poyser wound up playing 18. I don't know that they necessarily wanted to play Poyser for 18 minutes. But Poyser also got in a stretch in the second half where he was drawing fouls and get to the line.
Yes.
So he actually helped him there in that time. But I think this is going to be the starting lineup that you're going to see rolled out there now. Mooring is the same thing. You never quite know what you're going to get from him. But he's the one guy on the team who can make a difference. Zion Morgan is and Uche Fuebo, the other two guards, have done enough to merit, especially if Fuebo's really been coming on pretty strong the past few games, to merit starts. And then I think they just really like the combination of Jones and Dembele up front. Gives them a pretty good amount of size down there. And then Dembele had 7 rebounds and a couple blocks. So, he's certainly not someone you count on to score, but if he can keep doing those things, then I think they're happy with that kind of production from him.
All right, Mark, certainly appreciate your time. Safe travels back. Look forward to talking to you after New Mexico on Wednesday night.
All right, sounds good. Thanks so much.
Appreciate it. That's Mark Anderson of the Las Vegas Review-Journal. He mentioned the bench, Brian. We had Clyburn, Poyser, and Green coming off the bench. That's not bad if you're getting the production you hope to get. Unfortunately, the production wasn't necessarily there, and it ended up reflecting in the final score. One oddity, well, maybe it's not an oddity, because the Rebels have made their free throws for the most part this year, not always. At one point, I think they hit 12 straight free throws. That's actually what kept them in the game. Mooring hit two a couple minutes later. Poyser hit two a couple minutes after that. Mooring hit two more. Then Diane Morgan hit a couple. Clyburn hit two in that stretch. Between, I think, 7:03 and the three-minute mark, the Rebels hit about 10 free throws, but they weren't making any field goals.
That's not indicative of Rebel basketball the last couple of years, for sure, no. Birdie. Even Chuck Dembele hit his. He went 2 for 2 from the line in his one and only trip. I mean, it's great to see them shooting free throws, and if you want to look at a positive, that is a positive. It's obviously something they work on, and they're doing well. I don't expect them to go 89% from the free throw line many more times this year, but they definitely need it today. But, Bernie, you know, and again, the bench scoring looks a little better than it is because of all the free throws. If you look at the numbers from the field, it was terrible. Again, another guy, you know, we talk about Poyser and Terrell Green. Chris Clyburn, Bernie, at the beginning of this year, I thought he was the best player on this team. I thought the most athletic. I thought a guy that
very
could
really, active.
Very active, and the guy they're going to go to in key moments of the game. That guy has now become Uche Afebo.
By the way, you talk about missed shots. The Rebels missed 38 shots again tonight. We were talking about a game a week ago in which they missed 51 and somehow found a way to win. I've been waiting to see if the other shoe might drop. So, Brian, as we wrap up the show, I want to ask you a question. The Rebels have had some highlights this year. Let's give them their due. They open up conference play at Colorado State, lose by 14, but they bounce back with a very impressive win against Wyoming on New Year's Eve Day. That's when Javon Mooring assumed the duties of point guard. They ran a lot of ball screens that day, pick and roll. The Rebels looked good. Following that game, the Rebels lost a tough one at home against Boise, and then they lost at Utah State, but then bounced back with an impressive win at the Pit, followed up by a 13-point home loss to a San Diego State team that's a shell of what they used to be. But off the San Diego State loss, the Rebels had that double overtime thriller win over Air Force. Rebels then travel to Wyoming. We saw what happened. Thought they might bounce back with a win today. Possibly. They've lost two in a row. Three interesting games coming up. New Mexico at home Wednesday. Colorado State, an afternoon tilt next Saturday. And then, of course, a week from Wednesday, the leader of the pack, pun intended, Nevada-Reno. Three tough games. Brian, has the pattern been broken, and could this team find itself in free fall?
Bernie, you know, I would think so. Looking at this, I mean, you know, Marvin Menzie said in the pregame show that he was hoping to get a carryover from the Wyoming game. And, you know, the second half of the Wyoming game, where they were down by 20 points, came back in that game and lost by a point. They did get the carryover. They played a good, solid first half of basketball.
They did.
But then it went away again. So is the carryover going to be bad? This team is really a head-scratcher, Bernie. I don't know. I would say, to answer your question succinctly, yes, it would appear that this team is in for a catastrophic fall, but yet they've surprised me over and over again. That win at the Pit in New Mexico, I don't think there is a Rebel player out there that's honest that didn't shock the heck out of them.
Well, when the Rebels led by 40, or excuse me, when they led 40 to 27, they were up by 13, started out the second half with a 4-0 run. I said, they're going to get it done today, but it was short-lived. Too much hero ball, bad shot selection, missed defensive assignments, concentration lapses, mental mistakes. The self-inflicted wounds, Brian, really, really bothersome. But they did play hard, so there's that. All right, that's going to do it for tonight's edition of Rebel Extra. On behalf of my broadcast team, Brian Feldman, producer extraordinaire Bobby Machado, I'm Bernie Fratto, bidding you good night. Next up for the Run of Rebels, Wednesday, the New Mexico Lobos visit the Thomas and Mack. They'll be looking for revenge as the Rebels beat them at the Pit a couple of weeks ago. And, oh, by the way, New Mexico lost today at Nevada by double digits. I think you'll see an angry Lobo team Wednesday night, 8 o'clock. Let's pack the mat. Get out there and support this team. We'll see you then, folks. In the meantime, tonight's final score, San Jose State 76, UNLV 72. Good night, folks. Thanks for listening, and go Rebels.